I'm Nupur Rajay from Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center. I'm here in Chicago at the ASCO meeting, and I'm going to talk to you about part of the myeloma session which we had yesterday, focusing mainly on immuno-oncology. I presented our clinical trial with BB2121, which is a CAR T-cell product, so I will start out by that. What we did here was updated data analysis of our first in human phase one clinical trial, which included about 43 patients, including both the dose escalation as well as the expansion phase of this clinical trial. There were a couple of questions we had before going into this clinical trial. One is, did circulating BCMA levels matter? And preclinical data suggested that they really didn't. And we also looked at receptor density of BCMA on tumor cells. And at least preclinically, it had suggested to us that it didn't matter whether or not you had high or low BCMA level expression for efficacy of such a product. Going forward, we use this BB2121 product. The way this CAR T cell is constructed or generated is from autologous lymphocytes, autologous T cells, which are then manipulated, wherein a viral vector is used to recognize humanized BCMA. It also has a co-stimulatory domain, and most of the CAR T cells have CD3 zeta. This, in addition, we've used 4-1BB, and in our opinion, this seems to be a good strategy in terms of both T cell expansion as well as toxicity. So with that in mind, we went ahead with this first in human study. We did a classic dose escalation trial design. We started off with 50 million cells in patients and went all the way up to 800 million cells. Patients were lymphodepleted with Cytoxan and fludarabine, and this was followed by giving back the CAR T cell infusion. I think what was absolutely striking here was a couple of things. One is we saw very little in the way of toxicity. We did see some cytokine release syndrome. It was seen in about 60% of patients, but most of that CRS was grade 1 and 2 and very easy to manage. We had a few patients who had a higher grade CRS, but again, completely reversed with the use of tocilizumab. I think the other highlight of this trial was the fact that we didn't really use a whole lot of tocilizumab. It was certainly not mandated in the study, and we ended up using quite only in about, I think, 9 patients. Again, the use of steroids for all of these issues was also quite low. The other toxicity worth remembering and worth considering is neurotoxicity. Now, neurotoxicity has been reported with CAR T cell approaches. I think the good news with this particular clinical trial was we saw neurotoxicity in about 30% of patients, with really only one grade 4 neurotoxicity, which we described in detail at ASH, and that reverted and reversed completely. So from a toxicity signal standpoint, this BB2121 product was actually quite well tolerated. In terms of efficacy and in terms of dose expansion, we did two things. We included patients with low BCMA expression. We also mandated that these patients actually have had received daratumumab. And when we looked at the efficacy, we saw a very high response rate in all patients, in excess of 90%. There are some patients where responses are still ongoing and at the lower doses, because that was the cohort which was most recently accrued, and we just don't have all that data. So in terms of efficacy and response rates, again, very high. In terms of durability of that response also, what has been reported for the first time at this ASCO is that we had a median progression-free survival of these very heavily pretreated patients of approximately 11.8 months. And then if we looked at patients who achieved bone marrow clearance or MRD negativity within the bone marrow, their progression-free survival was as high as 17.8 months. Certainly patients are relapsing, so you don't see a plateauing of the curve. were, but nonetheless, trying to put this data in perspective, given this heavily pretreated patient population, I don't think we've seen this kind of an efficacy in end-stage myeloma to date. And I think the other very reassuring feature here was the tolerability of these CAR T-cell products. We also had other cellular therapy approaches which were presented at this session. One of them was presented by my colleague Nina Shah from UCSF, but most of the work which she presented was actually done at MD Anderson. And I think it's an interesting way of thinking about cellular therapy here, wherein Nina actually used allogeneic cord blood cells, and out of those cord blood cells got NK cells, natural killer cells, as a therapeutic modality for myeloma. Now, NK cells are a great target in myeloma, and you know, we've been using or thinking about using this target in myeloma for a long time. We, in fact, when we use immunomodulatory drugs in myeloma like the lenalidomides and the pomalidomides, preclinically we've actually shown increased levels of NK cell activity, and that goes hand in hand with efficacy. There are certain monoclonal antibodies which all of you are familiar with, such as elotuzumab. Elotuzumab actually targets NK cells and is able to activate NK cells. So there's certainly interest in the NK cell field in the context of myeloma. And what Nina did very nicely in this study was actually took these patients who'd relapsed, gave them high-dose melphalan and an autologous stem cell transplant, followed by these NK cell infusions. What her data very nicely showed us that these NK cells stuck around for about 8 days or so. And just the fact that this kind of an approach was a feasible approach using an allogeneic product was, I think, very encouraging. I think a lot more work needs to be done in this field. And I think the biggest challenge in this NK cell field is how long will these NK cells persist? So, you know, based on her data, it was about a week or so of NK cell persistence. And I think over the next couple of years, we will begin to learn and understand how we can further activate these NK cells and how they can stay on in our system for longer so that they actually have a therapeutic benefit. We also talked about, actually, interestingly enough, a couple of trials, the KEYNOTE trials, which I think the whole myeloma community has been waiting for a very long time. Now, the KEYNOTE trials were two large trials, two randomized trials, one in the upfront setting, one in the relapse refractory setting. The upfront setting was lenalidomide in combination with pembrolizumab and dexamethasone versus Lendex alone. In the relapse setting, the KEYNOTE trial was pomalidomide with pembrolizumab and dex versus pom-dex. You know, everybody's aware that these trials were cut short and had to be terminated early, which was in the middle of last year. And what happened at this year's ASCO meeting was the FDA actually collated the data from both of these clinical trials and showed us that what we did see here in this PD-1 checkpoint blocker in combination with the IMID, a slightly higher risk of, not risk, actual mortality from the combination. I think this was a very instructive session because what was presented yesterday was the fact that most of this toxicity was related to, most of the mortality was related to toxicity, and it was toxicity from immune-related adverse events, so IRAEs, which typically don't happen immediately, can take 4 to 5 weeks to happen. And to me, this was teaching moment, actually, which is how we learn how to use these drugs better. The good news is, I think because it was all toxicity related, I think we have to try and understand and appreciate these drugs better, understand as to how to manage the toxicity of these drugs better. And our hope is that we can still try and work with these drugs in the future, because they do work for a subset of myeloma patients and they can be very, very effective in those folks. Thanks.